Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to a beautiful episode of Missing Frames. I'm your host, Sean Eastridge. We have a plethora of wonderful guests in the house today. First, we've got my wonderful wife, Sarah.
Hello.
And for the first time ever, Mr. Cinzi Graziano is here. Cinzi, thank you so much for being here.
I love being here. This is really cool.
Now, are you just saying that because I'm sitting across from you and you have to say it, or do you genuinely feel that way?
Absolutely both of those things.
Perfect. That's what I wanted to hear. You passed the test. You will remain and diminish and go into the West and remain Galadriel. So we're here today, and we decided in celebration of the release of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which I haven't seen and Sarah hasn't seen, but Cinzi, you've seen.
Yes, I saw it a week ago at the cast and crew screening at the Fox Theater.
And we are going to watch Mr. James Gunn's first movie, Slither. Now, has anyone seen this movie?
Nope.
None of us.
Nope.
Absolutely none. What has everyone heard of it? I remember, so this came out in 2006. I remember it came out and it looked ridiculous. Like, I was like, there's no way I'm going to see this movie. It looks terrible. And then it got really good reviews. And I was kind of like, oh, well, maybe I should see it. But it made like no money. And it developed something of a cult following, and eventually James Gunn got to direct The Big Guns. That's with two N's, like his name. You guys see what I did there? But, you know, eventually it all worked out for him. But this first movie was not such a huge success. It's got Elizabeth Banks. I know Nathan Fillion. Nathan Fillion? Yes. He's in it. The captain is in this movie, I believe. Perfect. So, but that was my first exposure to Slither. Does anybody remember this movie at all? Did anyone, Cinzi, did you hear anything about it when it first came out?
Nope. You just were like, hey, you should come watch this movie. Have you seen it? And I was like, nope, don't know what it is.
That's how I invite strangers to my home. Typically, I'm like, just hey, come to my house and watch a movie. Yeah. Cinzi and I don't know each other. Nope. I just met him on the street just a few minutes ago and invited him in.
Yep, now I'm here.
So here we are. Sarah, what do you know about Slither?
I know absolutely nothing. I know that... No, I don't know anything. It's scary, maybe. Scary, a little funny. I think there are a lot of like wormy-looking, creepy things on the cover of the movie. And that's pretty much all I know.
That's pretty much all I know, too. Yeah. And I mean, that's a good way to go into a movie. So we could either be coming out of this really excited or really disappointed. Maybe both.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of what I want out of every experience.
I'm very interested to see what tropes carry over from this movie all the way to Guardians.
Right. That's what's cool about it, is we get to kind of see, by going back and watching James Gunn's first movie,
the transformation that is James
Gunn.
And
you're, yeah, exactly. And you're the only one who's seen, since you're the only one who's seen Volume 2, I guess technically if we've seen the first Guardians, we kind of have a good feel for the style of the second one.
Yeah, but you more or less, if you've seen the first movie, you've seen the second movie, but that's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing
at
all.
It was a fun movie.
But it's funny how many like superhero or comic book movie directors started off in horror. Because it's not just him. We've got Mr. Sam Raimi as well. He directed Spider-Man, which just celebrated its 15th anniversary. I kind of wish I knew somebody who hadn't seen Spider-Man. That would have been fun to watch too. I feel like this is terrible. I feel like if James Gunn were ever to listen to this, he'd be really upset with us for not being more excited to see this movie.
I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm very excited.
So we are kind of interested in this. There is some level on a scale of 1 to 10, Cinzi, how interested are you? Like when I told you this is, because there were a few choices for what we could watch tonight. Was this what you wanted the outcome of this evening to be? This Cinco de Mayo?
Well, I kind of wanted to watch Place Beyond the Pines, but it's kind of depressing, and you haven't seen it yet, but
it's true.
Hopefully we'll watch it in the future.
Yeah, that's a teaser right there.
Mean, any movie you haven't seen and your friend's like, hey, this is a good movie, we should watch it, you really don't know until after you see it.
It's true, so, and I'm just assuming it's good because I've heard good things about it. But
it's got a great title.
It does have a great title. Slither. What does that even mean? It's like, you know, like slither, like a snake. Yeah.
Creepy
little slug things that slither across. So let's predict what this movie's about. So, Sarah, go ahead. What's the plot of this movie?
Okay.
So far, because just thinking about slithering just made me think, okay, yes, what is this movie about?
Okay, so there are creepy alien things that slither, and they invade Earth, and then you have a team of people that have to fight against them.
Yeah, see, I think so. I know, I feel like they also invade bodies, and because I know there's like creature, like gross creature stuff in this movie too. So I think they like invade, kind of like The Fly, like David Cronenberg stuff. That's going to be exciting.
All right.
Did we steal all the ideas?
No.
What do you have?
Mine's completely different.
What is it? Tell us.
It is going to be the standard ragtag team of people, probably, that are in horror films. There's going to be the token black character who will die. And the monsters.
So the movie's racist. We already know
that. Absolutely.
We know that before we've seen it.
It came out in the early 2000s before people were politically correct.
That's right.
So,
God, I miss those days. I miss the days when we could just be casually racist.
Well, you know.
Sarah's sitting over here rolling her eyes. Every day she asks herself, why is she marrying me? And now the world knows.
And I bet the monsters are going to be from the ground. So it's going to be like, I don't know, the cave dwellers or whatever.
Okay.
So
not aliens at all.
No, it's going to be like the underground people.
Okay.
The old people.
Okay.
And they're going to have to stop them and probably like push them into the core of the earth or something, burn them all up. I don't know.
What's the one thing that has to happen in this movie for you to be happy with it, Sarah?
Just like some massive slaughter of humans by creepy worms.
Great. All right. I know. Sean. She's just a total doll. Very kind-hearted and generous and caring of humanity.
I'm just being
honest. What about you, Chenzi?
Well, since the title is Slither, I really want some sort of snake or tentacle creature to wrap its tentacle or, you know, snake body around someone's neck and kill them that way. Slither them to death.
Slither them to death. Somebody has to get slithered to
death. Someone has to get slithered around the neck.
It's going to be a major disappointment.
Exactly.
I'll say that. I want something to, like, I want a person to explode. I don't know why. I just want somebody to explode.
And you think mine was bad?
Well, I want them to be a bad person who deserves to explode. I know you made it sound like you. I said I want someone to explode. That could mean anything. And you said I want people to be slaughtered. I want them to be slaughtered. I want children to be crying as their parents die. And it was, I mean, yours is much more disturbing than mine.
That's what I like in a movie.
I know. Well, I know that about you. That's why I married you.
You guys are sick.
And on that note, now that we know that none of us have any idea what this movie's about, but we're all relatively excited to see it, why don't you say we go ahead and watch Mr. James Gunn's debut feature, Slither.
Now available to own on video cassette.
And we're back, and we just watched Slither. So what do we think? Was there enough slithering in the movie Slither? What do you say?
So some of my predictions were right. I was really happy about it. I think three people got slithered the way I wanted it to happen.
Yes.
First, Elizabeth Banks almost got slithered.
That's right. Something slithered around her neck.
And then Michael Rooker slithered a lamp on his way out from that
he
scene.
Did.
That lamp got slithered.
That lamp got straight up slithered.
Straight up slithered.
You know what I'm saying?
and then the third time was, what was the third time? I was keeping track.
You know what? It got to a point where it was hard to keep track because there were slitherings all over the place. There were slitherings on the ground, on the walls, in bathtubs, trying to get at teenage girls.
Oh, man, the bathtub, that was intense. James Gunn was playing with all of our expectations. We all thought what was going to happen in the bathtub, and thank God it didn't happen because that would have been royally
well,
we upped
kind
up.
Of pulled a Nightmare on Nightmare on Elm Street. Have you seen Nightmare on Elm Street?
I have not.
With the claw hand coming up between her legs. Oh, it's great.
Oh,
so there's a nice little homage there. Sarah, did you got some slaughtering and some slithering,
yeah,
just
I did.
Like what you wanted.
Yeah, a lot of it.
Yeah, so.
Everybody died. It was wonderful.
Literally everyone.
Literally
I was
everybody.
Waiting for everyone to come up at the end and nope.
They were, just we're all okay, but no, they died. Somebody exploded. A couple people exploded.
Yeah, you got the
heads exploded. A giant ball of a woman
babies.
Exploded into little
a
babies.
A giant ball of a woman.
A giant ball of a woman. I really enjoyed this a lot. And this, I mean, for being James Gunn's debut movie, It was well made. It was tight. It was very tight.
It had a good pacing. Yeah.
Yeah. It was paced well. So I like me, you know, horror is not my go-to genre, but I'm kind of obsessed with horror. And when I find me a good, like, schlocky, goofy horror movie, I get very excited.
It was just a ride.
But you pointed out, and it's something I know, the cinematography was bothering you a bit.
No, it was the green everywhere.
It's a lot of green.
I felt like this movie was shot on green screen, and then whoever edited it, just did a really crappy job with the green, because there was just so much green. I get they lit it with green. Like, I get that was the aesthetic he was going for.
Like, was it supposed to be, like, weird? Because green can be creepy in a movie. It's like, oh, it's unsettling. But there was, like, a weird greenness where I thought, honestly, maybe there was something wrong with the TV or the streaming we were watching.
No, and there were some low-angle shots that were, like, on Nathan Fillion or some of the other actors, and it was, like, the sky behind them was just, like, it was just one color with no clouds or anything. It looked like it was like a pickup shot.
Yeah.
And then the sky wouldn't match the color when they cut to, you know, a normal shot or something.
Right.
And I was like, what is going on with this? What is going on with this? Again, great movie. Lots of fun.
Also lots of green.
Lots of green.
Just be prepared for lots of green if you haven't seen it.
Could have been a Christmas movie with all the green and red in this movie.
It's true. But I had a lot of fun with it. And I didn't even know Michael Rooker was in this, which I guess I should not be surprised now.
It was the Michael Rooker show.
Yeah. So I was very happy when he was in it. And he's wonderful.
But those glasses were just awful.
They were awful.
So awful. They made him look like 20 years older. Like, if he was playing that role now,
yeah,
wearing those glasses, I think they would have looked a little better, maybe.
Yeah.
But it was weird. It was like a student film when you have, like, your 20-something-year-old friend, and you're, like, trying to dress him like a grandpa, but you don't have any real makeup on him. It's just, like, what he's wearing in, like, a wig, and then these doofy glasses you get from, like, a thrift store. And
I know.
I guess it added to the charm, but it was those glasses are crazy.
Did his look do anything for you, Sarah?
Nope.
What about after he transformed? Was that something where you were like, okay, oh, yeah, yes, now I'm on board with this?
Like, you want to date that.
It's insane to me what you can pull off with, like, because movies, and even now James Gunn is directing some of these movies with, like, multi-million, more than six figure, like, ridiculous budgets of, $200 million. And with, like, $15 million, he made this insane movie. And, I mean, it's a little cheap, but it's, like, for the most part, it looked great. He did a lot with what he had.
I mean, it doesn't feel like a Tromaville film as far as, like, the production value being low quality, but I could see it taking some of its inspiration maybe from some of those films.
There is a lot of, like, I mean, this, you could almost knock this movie for, like, I mean, there's Night of the Living Dead. There's all sorts of, like, homages. The Thing is in there, you know, and, like, we mentioned, we mentioned in the pre-show, David Cronenberg's The Fly. There's a lot of creature effects and gore effects and things like that. But the thing is, it's like when you take all those elements, it's like one thing to just rip them off and be, like, tasteless about it and be like, oh my gosh, yeah, I can see it's a ripoff of that. But when you can combine all those elements and have them put together in a really fun way with an original spin on it, it works really well. And I liked this a lot for that. I feel like Guardians is kind of the same thing. Like, it's something that carried through in his career. He kind of combines a bunch of genres and just meshes them together. Yeah, and you're like, this could or couldn't work. Because Guardians is very Star Warsy, and you know, it's got, like, the kind of Seven Samurai, Ocean's 11 vibe, where it's like it's a team of ragtag people coming together. But so what did you notice, both of you, as far as his style, either visually or aesthetically, anything about his style that you've also noticed as far as, like, Guardians of the Galaxy? Is there anything in particular? Sarah, you look like the deer that got caught in the headlights / eaten in this movie right now.
That's me. No, I don't know. I didn't really notice any similarities.
What about you, Shinzo?
Well, definitely some of the comedic timing, especially with Nathan Fillion.
Yes, who is wonderful in this movie.
Yeah, I'm gonna jump around just because of what comes to mind first.
Sure.
The moment where he has the grenade in his hand, that's last, you know, saving grace hope, and he gets tentacle-armed out the window, and then the grenade falls in the pool and blows up, and he looks up, and it's literally deer in the headlights.
They hold on his face.
He's like, oh. And then there were so many moments, like... Oh, when he's in the police car, they're, you know, everyone just kind of got destroyed, and whoever's left is in this cop car. He's radioing for help to Pam from the office, Jenna Fischer, and she's telling him about his mom called and he clogged the toilet, and like they're all hearing this. And instead of like, no, I need the CDC, he like tries to defend himself to everyone in the car. He's like, well, you know, it was a rough weekend, you know, I used too much paper, but the toilet's weak.
Yes, in light of everything that's
going
happening.
On, life and death, he's trying to save face in front of these people he doesn't even know. Really.
Right. It's fantastic. And he's, James Gunn is so good at kind of humanizing. I mean, I've only seen this. I never saw Super, I hear.
That movie?
So I don't know if this is also in that, but he kind of imbues everything with this kind of almost like, it's not slapsticky, but it's like, it is kind of,
it's almost the sarcastic.
It's absurd.
Like an absurd,
it's
sarcastic.
Yeah, it's like there's like something very serious is happening or something very cool, and it's like just undercut by this absurdity. Like, you know,
it's like a straight joke. It's not like, and it's Guardians, not like, I'm making a joke.
In Guardians of the Galaxy, where they're like, show us the ball or the dome, and Chris Pratt takes it out and drops it and then picks it back up as if nothing happened, which is apparently completely unintentional. But stuff like that, I love that. And I love that is all on display early on in Slither. And it's not like, I mean, first-time directors, this is a really confident debut, and that doesn't always happen. And I do think it's funny that a lot of great directors have started off in the horror genre. As far as like favorite scenes in this movie,
when the woman exploded, just because it was so
because you like
gross.
Seeing slaughter.
Yeah, pass me that
so
pasta.
Disgusting! And
oh
then
my
they
god!
All slithered out of her.
I know.
And they started just.
It
that,
was delicious.
That's when the mass destruction happened.
Yeah. It's true.
So yeah.
So that was
that
a beautiful
was
moment.
Yeah.
Do you think there was a symbolism there? What do you think it was describing?
Symbolism. Give me a break. Symbolism? No.
The overpopulation of the planet.
Yeah, like, come on now.
What about you, Chenzi?
Well, I feel like someone needs to have a supercut. It's probably on YouTube. A supercut of all the lines the mayor had. Because was this scummy, like, D-bag guy.
Yeah.
Who just had his line. Like, every line of dialogue he had was profanity, and that was his character. And he had some of the best lines. And, like, I don't know how he survived as long as he did. And we finally, you know, he survived to the point where he didn't die. He got to the point where he got infected by Rooker, and then he's eating this arm to, like, the romance
he's
song.
He's eating meat now. He's now been converted.
Yeah, but he just had so many great lines. The first time we see him, he's just pulling up, cursing this guy out, and then he looks over at this woman. With her child, and is like, gives her the eyes and a little grin, and she kind of just takes her child and, like, walks away, and I'm like, who is this guy? I didn't think he was going to be
He also resulted in one of the best parts of the movie, which is when Nathan Fillion walks in the room and he goes, please kill me. And without missing a beat, Nathan Fillion just shoots him in the head. It's
so
good.
What we all been wanting. That was just like, Nathan Fillion was the audience in that moment. Like, yeah, shut up.
I know. Bam. It was great. And it's so hard to pick. I was very happy when the woman exploded, just because that was what I wanted.
Well,
I was like, I want someone to explode.
You said it before.
So when that happened, that was great. I really like, and this is something else that I think has carried over with James Gunn's just kind of aesthetic, is the music choices, like the kind of cheesy 80s and 70s music, which is a major part of the Guardians films. That is on full display here as
Do either of you know what that song was that played the romance song between Rooker and Elizabeth Banks?
No.
We need to find out and just play it.
I wish so bad that song was in either Guardians 1 or 2, just to like,
as like a reference,
just as like an Easter egg to his.
It's still cool. I mean, I didn't know Michael Rooker was in this movie.
Yeah.
And he plays a substantial part in this. That was kind of like, that's so cool. I thought it was just going to be like, he had a little bit part, and then
he
ended up being the main antagonist of the movie, and he's so good. And I'm happy that it always makes me happy when like small, because James Gunn, there was no precedent for him to take on something as big as Guardians of the Galaxy, because he'd written the Scooby-Doo movies, which is amazing. He wrote the Dawn of the Dead remake, which is you know, a little bit more of something you might want on your resume as opposed to Scooby-Doo.
I know you said you didn't see Super, but Super is pretty effed up.
It's that's what I've heard.
It's a real-life take on, like, superheroes, so I'm really shocked Disney was like, hey, make us a Marvel superhero movie.
But what's interesting about that is Super, as well as this movie. So this movie had a budget of about $15 million. You know, you can boost that up to 25 when you include marketing costs. And the movie was, it didn't make anywhere near that. It made like $12 million. So the movie was not a hit, but people liked it. Like, you know, critics liked it. It had a good reputation. But it's interesting that they let him make another movie, and that was Super, and that made even less money. That had like a $5 million budget and made like $400,000. So what do you think it is about Slither? And I haven't seen Super, but maybe you can speak to this, Chinzi. But like, what do you think it is about James Gunn or this movie? What do you think it was that Marvel looked at or Disney looked at and said, like, that's the kind of guy we want to make our $200 million movie?
You know, he had to know somebody. Like, I'm in this industry.
If I had seen that, I wouldn't have picked him.
You know, I work in this industry. I hear stories all the time. I heard a story about how Daddy Daycare was made. I heard stories today about how Place Beyond the Pines was made, and how they almost cast Jude Law as Bradley Cooper's character, and how the producer talked him out of that. So it's really just, you know, you just got to connect the dots through the credits and see who knew who, because obviously James Gunn is talented and he knows what he's doing, but his audience, I feel like, in Super and this are like very niche. You know? His movies are cult movies. And, you know, someone over at Disney was like, hey, this guy's talented, and if we take his talent and we attach our brand and tone down his, you know, maturity a little bit to make it a little,
make it a little
friendly,
more family friendly,
you know, we can really put this guy on a pedestal and make him succeed. So I think it was someone over there at Disney. I don't know who it was, but
see, but the thing is, I don't know if I feel like I'm gonna get on James Gunn's side, because I know he's listening, and I love you, James Gunn, give me a job. I feel like you're not giving him enough credit, because this is like such a, this is for a filmmaker to come in and make this as his debut as a director, and not, I mean, he'd written before, but to come in and do that much with such a small budget is super impressive to me.
Yeah, the cast, yeah, I mean, I don't know what their star power was at the day. Obviously, everyone knows, you know, Nathan Fillion, Michael Rooker.
Right.
Elizabeth Banks.
Now we do, and we go back and we watch this.
You know, who knows what they were, I mean, what they were paying them, because again, $15 million, that's not a lot when you're paying actors,
right,
especially with all the other costs that come in.
They were clearly, I mean,
so they weren't, you know, they weren't,
I think you're
super
right,
A-list like they are now.
Especially
maybe
with this, I think it was to get something like that. Because Elizabeth Banks, I think, was the only one who had a
star
kind
power
of, yeah,
time,
star power.
Well, this came out after Firefly, but Firefly did bomb.
Yeah.
And then was better later on.
Yeah,
it's kind of like where's this fall in the timeline?
Yeah,
because the internet wasn't really as prevalent back then, and things weren't like trendy,
right?
So it's like, yeah, there's just so many factors to think about, and you know, even saying like how, and then how do you even meet this cast? You know, how did he even, you know, did these guys come to him and were like, oh, we love this script, we really want it, or did he go to
right?
Some
he's
of
like,
them?
I have an idea for a movie. I've never directed it before, or I've never directed before, but here's the idea: giant monsters with
from
tentacles
space
come and basically invade your body and in a really offensive kind of way, and it's gonna be great. Like, it's like, I mean, the guy's gonna have, I mean, he strikes me as a very like cool guy, so you've got to have that kind of winning personality.
He's
gotta
be confident in his weirdness.
I can't imagine pitching a movie like this to like Elizabeth Banks and being like, you get to make out with Michael Rooker, but he's gonna be a giant blob man.
Yeah,
but it's gonna be great. It's gonna be great. Yeah,
the other lady.
Which one?
Oh yeah, the ball lady.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
That, she is, like,
oh,
one
she
of the
has
most
it worse off.
Scenes,
yeah, that's right. It's
whatever happened
terrible
to her baby? We never saw it. She said, "How's my baby?" And Nathan Fillion's like, "He's fine."
It's holding the tomatoes.
But all the people are dead in the town. So what happened to that baby?
Baby's just chilling out.
That's where the sequel is.
That's the sequel.
That's where the sequel is.
This is it. I mean, we're like
tomato baby.
Tomato baby.
I think we've got a very good spinoff idea
Slither
here.
Slither 2, Tomato Baby.
I thought the first half of the movie was really boring.
Really? You weren't into it?
No. But after the halfway
point, did it kind of start to win you over? Because I was into it right from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Probably when was the blob lady?
It took that long?
That was
my God.
That was probably like second act curtain, maybe.
Yeah.
When
yeah.
she burst, that was like full on act.
Yeah. I actually thought the pacing was really slow. I kind of had an opposite.
It didn't really, because with
horror, I wouldn't say bad.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, I'm kind of looking at my phone.
Yeah.
And I'm not super invested.
I never got that. It had enough personality that I was like, this is fun. And you got the sense they were building to something. And I loved I was so happy that Michael Rooker, like, because the beginning is all Michael Rooker. So I was very like, oh my gosh, he's in this movie. Oh my gosh, he's a major part. And I think I was so happy about that, that even if the pacing was a little off, I was just kind of like, I'm so happy.
He was very good. I kept remembering when we went to AwesomeCon. I think, and he was there just taking pictures with little Chihuahua dogs.
Oh, that's right.
And
he seems like such a wonderful person.
Can I just have it for a while? And then other people would come do photo ops and he'd still have it.
That's right. He
Chihuahua.
Was having conversations with people at AwesomeCon while holding this lady's dog. Like,
that's
they're like,
crazy.
Who's that dog? He's like, oh, just this lady's dog. And he's like taking photos and having conversations and just like loving this dog and it's licking his face. But he seems like just one.
He does seem genuinely sweet.
He's one of those actors that like, I can't think of someone else off the top of my head, but it's like you are so it's same thing with James Gunn as a filmmaker. Like you want them to succeed and you're so happy when they do succeed. Like now James Gunn and Michael Rooker are working together.
Our household names.
And some of the biggest movies of all time. And
see Guardians 2. Rooker like steals the show for a good part of the movie. Like he is really like built upon his character in this next movie.
He's got to be so happy. Like, how can you imagine being him in this movie and just being like, look, I'm not going to complain. Just put me in like hours and hours of makeup.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe someday I'll be in a billion-dollar movie that you direct.
And this isn't really a spoiler, but Michael Rooker gets a little bit of an upgrade in this movie, and he looks even more badass.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
Yeah, that's all I'll say about that.
This is basically the Michael Rooker love fest. Slither is just an excuse to love him even more. But so the woman exploding, that's when you kind of jumped on board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say. It took me a while.
It's kind of weird because we started with Michael Rooker and then we kind of followed Elizabeth Banks.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the characters were in play the whole time, but like we really focused on Rooker for probably the first like 25 minutes of the film. And then we went to Elizabeth Banks, and then when the woman burst, like kind of a little bit before that, then we focused with Nathan Fillion.
Right.
So we really didn't know who the group was. And then by the time we got to it, was like Nathan Fillion and the farmer's daughter.
Who we just met,
whose family got obliterated.
It was a very interesting ensemble as far as how, because...
And the mayor was there too, yeah. It was just,
At the core of it was Elizabeth Banks... And Nate, like, they were kind of the heart of the movie, like their relationship.
Yeah.
And, you know, them like, oh, we're in love with each other, but we...
And their little backstory was great, too.
Exactly. And it was really sweet. And, you know, again, I love moments of sincerity, and even in a movie as ridiculous as this, because it helps ground it a little bit.
Oh, yeah,
and I did feel kind of like connected to them, and I was like, oh, I want them. I want it all to work out for them. I want all the I want them to defeat the slug people and just walk away. And they did. At the end, they got to walk away. Everyone else is dead,
but at least they got to go away.
And you know what's great too is they never, just like in the first Guardians. Not going to spoil anything for second Guardians. You just got to see it, but. The two love interests never kissed.
Yeah.
Nathan Fillion and Elizabeth Banks never kissed.
I kind of like that.
I'm
all up for wonderful romance,
like,
but I kind
it,
of like
it. But it's nice. It's nice.
Well, yeah. You can have romance.
It's
without
an unspoken.
That.
Yeah.
It's an unspoken thing.
I appreciate that James Gunn does that.
Yeah.
I appreciate your time. I'm sorry. That's an Arrested Development quote. It has nothing to do with James Gunn or Slither. But all right. So how do we feel about, like I said, when it comes to Halloween, like Halloween time, October, I get crazy
totally,
into horror movies. So like,
totally
is this,
Halloween
Sarah, thing. Is this becoming a part of our repertoire? Do you think we will want to revisit it at some point?
Well, because I'm married to you, yes, it probably will become part of it, but I'm fine with it. It was fun. It was campy. But, you know, I liked it.
What do you think, Shinzi?
This is definitely a movie that when you have a bunch of friends over and you're like, what should we watch? And it's close to Halloween. You put it on because you have a good time.
Exactly.
But, disclaimer, this movie is a little, like, rapey. And it's, like, it actually is a little rapey.
Yeah.
And the visuals and the makeup.
It's definitely,
it gets a little...
It's not so subtexty. It's very blatant.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And so that, I mean, I don't really. I'm kind of just really. Yeah, jaded at this
it's
point,
kind of par for the course for horror movies. Like I'm just thinking of the first Evil Dead, which this kind of reminded me of a little bit, as far as like it's low budget, really gory, kind of like, you know, grimy.
Those tentacles sometimes were just a little too much.
Yeah,
definitely
yeah.
not something you put on when mom's around.
I'm okay with it. I feel like the genre. You can get away with a lot in the genre.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, obviously, I'm not saying like, yes, good, I'm glad it's in this movie. But because horror is meant to disturb and make you uncomfortable, that imagery definitely does those things.
I'll probably have a couple weird dreams tonight.
One can only hope. So what do you think? Did this... Our expectations, all of us, I think, were kind of just like, whatever. So how do we feel? Did this meet our expectations? Did it exceed? Were you pleasantly surprised? Was it about what you expected? Chinzy, what do you think?
It was a fun Friday night. You know, I didn't know anything about this movie. I probably wouldn't have watched it if James Gunn's name wasn't attached to it, and I didn't just see Guardians 2 last weekend. But it was a good time. Not the greatest movie I've ever seen, but and I'm not particularly a horror guy. At all. I actually didn't grow up watching any horror.
Mm.
So, you know, this was fun. I like the campy factor. I like that it was on the nose at times. And a lot of the dialogue was really, really funny and really good.
Yeah.
And Nathan Fillion did a great job. He's wonderful. They all did a great job.
What do you think, Sarah?
I think I like the cast more than the movie.
Uh-huh.
But it was still fun. It was definitely fun.
Yeah.
It's a good, you know. I think the same thing. I probably would never have picked it up off the shelf unless I knew who was attached to it type thing. But
right.
It was good.
I've always wanted to, even when this first came out, I kind of wanted to see it. So I'm glad I had an excuse to come back and watch it. So I want to thank James Gunn for, you know, making it big so we could have an excuse to watch it on the opening weekend of Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was about what I hoped it would be. I loved the camp factor. I loved the characters. I loved the gore and the ridiculousness of it. But all right. So for our rating system, scale of 1 to 5, with 5 being the highest, how many slithering Michael Rookers would you give this?
That's a hard question, because is this just like a movie score, or is this like a...
Judge the movie on its own terms without like... It's on its own terms, not comparing, like, you can say The Godfather's a 5-star movie, but don't, like, you can just see this as its own thing. Don't compare it to The Godfather.
I think this is a solid 3 stars.
Okay.
This is, like, your run-of-the-mill, just, like, fun, it works, you know. It's just because horror is not really my thing, and it wasn't over-the-top funny where I'm like, oh, my God, this is a great comedy,
right.
5 stars. But definitely just a solid movie.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people, their first movie is not, it's, you know, negative stars.
Yes.
So, you know, it's a good time. But I'd give it a solid 3, you know, the high 3s.
I'm going to give it a 2.75.
Wow. Yeah, getting real fancy.
Slithering Michael Rookers.
Slithering. I'll go ahead and give it a solid 3.5. And I think anyone who's a fan of horror should definitely see this. Anyone who's a fan of James Gunn and wants to check out his earlier works should absolutely see this, because it's definitely worth watching just to see where he kind of got his start. And I'm happy we all got to sit down, watch it, celebrate Cinco de Mayo, get a little bit of drink while we're watching crazy slugs kill everybody.
And James Gunn, if you're listening,
we can assume he is.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's the internet and everyone consumes everything. But Mr. Gunn, we know you'll be back for Volume 3. We're here in Atlanta now.
Yeah, so you know, give us a call.
Yeah, give us a call. We work in the production offices. We do things. We know how to do things. And you know,
and we're getting you. Look, Slither didn't make a lot of money when it was first released, so this podcast is kind of going to push it over the edge as far as popular.
And even though our ratings weren't, you know, 5 stars, you know, don't hate us. I'm sure, you know, if you look back, there's things
like
you do differently too.
As you're saying this, you're looking up to the heavens where James Gunn is
the
currently
James Gunn
living.
Heavens.
That's where he is. He's looking down upon us, and I know somewhere James Gunn is smiling as he doesn't listen to this episode and never will.
Come on, man. Come on. Got a dream, man.
Alrighty. So there you go. So that's this. We're going to go ahead and wrap it up. You can find me on Twitter at YeSeanDoorman. And tell me what you thought about Slither. Did you see it in theaters? Are you a fan of James Gunn? Have you been there since the beginning? Or are you a poser like we are? And we're just jumping on the bandwagon now that he's famous. But we want to hear from you. You can reach out to @JoinNerdParty. As well, if you would like. And the Nerd Party is full of great shows, so be sure to check those all out. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, and just have a wonderful time. Shinzi, is there anywhere you want people to come find you, or do you want to just hide in a corner and like be left alone?
Probably just hide the
corner. Good. Be left alone. Totally fine.
I'm just too busy working. I don't want
too busy hanging out with them slugs. You know? Oh. And Sarah, what about you?
I am with Love Alone on Twitter.
Yay. So we can all chat with each other.
Actually, I have one place.
One place, okay.
At Chenzy on Instagram.
There,
that's my Instagram.
Chenzy. Real easy.
Are you sure you don't want to tell them about Chenzy eating?
No. Don't look for that one on Instagram. My wife just keeps posting random things that don't exist.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening into this episode. And we hope you have a wonderful time at the movies. Hope you enjoy seeing Guardians of the Galaxy if you haven't already. So there we go. Woo. You're every